This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I gotta say, if you're giving in to your animals and you're catering to them so much that it's making your life difficult, you gotta change that up. I was just talking to somebody, and I'm not gonna name names, but he's very connected to Pet Life Radio, and he was complaining that his cats must have wet food always with their dry food and must be fed twice a day, and he can never leave, not even for a day or two. And I said, well, what about an automatic feeder? Oh yeah, I've got that, but that wouldn't dispense the wet food, and they can't, you know, I don't want them to go a meal without wet food. But in the meantime, he's probably gonna let these cats be his last because it's such a pain to hire people to ask for favors and have people come twice a day. Whereas if you only go away a little bit for short stints, it would be pretty easy to set up the automatic feeder and have cats for the rest of your life and save more cats, rescue more cats, enjoy more cats, not have to be catless because your standard's so high. Now, do these cats really need wet food at every meal because they're used to it? No. Is a weekend a long time for a cat, or is one night a long time for a cat, especially when there's more than one in a home? No, not really. They sleep 18 to 20 hours a day. So if you leave your cat for a day or two, and then you're there for the next 3 weeks, steady on, you work from home, you're always there, this is not at all difficult for the cat. If the cats, two of them, are left alone for a night or two, and the automatic feeder dispenses their food, and they don't get the treat of wet food with it, they get a choice. They can be a little bit hungry and wait, or they can eat the dry food. That's their choice, and they'll make a good choice. And you don't have to feel guilt over that, because you'll be home in a day and get them back to their normal routine. So I do think a lot of this is self-inflicted hassle when we have our pets. And some of the dogs who come to Camp Good Dog come with very lengthy notes about all the things you have to do. You have to say these words before you feed them. And I don't mean that they're trained. I don't mean that that's a release word, because that makes sense to me. If you've trained your dog to never accept food from strangers unless they give a command, that's a safety thing, and I understand that. But I'm talking about people who want me to baby talk to their dog as I feed it twice a day. And they're convinced their dog won't eat unless I baby talk, which is not the case. Maybe the dog's that way with them, but he's not that way with me. Anyway, so there's people who send elaborate things, cans of sardines and stomach tripe and all different combinations. And every day the dog gets all these combinations of wonderful foods. But I'm thinking, you know, if you just did a few of those, and then next week did a few different ones, and then the dog would be just as happy and it would be so much less hassle for you. So a lot of these things are self-inflicted hardship. So you got to think about that. Make your life easy. All right. So we're going to talk today a little more about teaching dogs to find stuff, because I was talking about that and I have a YouTube showing it. And because apparently all of a sudden, I didn't know this, but all of a sudden foraging has become really on trend. People all over the world and Germany, hello to everybody in Germany, I gotta say hello everybody, because it seems like it's big there. So mushroom tours, mushroom hunting, foraging in the forest for food is becoming all the rage in Germany. And so people are asking me, on YouTube and through emails and stuff, they're asking me, how do we train our dogs to find mushrooms? Which, I mean, easy peasy, I can do it. So I've been doing it with my dogs, and I'll try to post a picture with this show of me and my crew out looking for chanterelles and our success. So, okay, so first I should say, most mushrooms are deadly. Most of them would really hurt you or cause you very bad stomach upset. So if you're ever in doubt, don't eat it. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is, if you want to find stuff, the best way to find stuff, anything, whether it's starfish on the beach or a certain kind of seaweed or a plant you want to harvest like salal or anything, it doesn't matter what it is, willow, I don't care what it is. You want to find something, and you have a good dog that listens well, that knows how to fetch, you're in business. He doesn't even know, even if he doesn't know how to fetch, if you have a treat motivated dog or a toy motivated dog or a fetch motivated dog or a dog who just loves to please you for cuddles, which pretty much describes every dog out there, right? If you put those together, you'd be yes, yes. Every dog has the nose for this. Every dog can find you what you're looking for. So we're going to talk about that today on the show. Coming up next, stay tuned. And at the very end, I will give you a recipe. So, if you got extra time on your hands, or you got extra pumpkin, or you got extra carrots because you harvested them, or you bought them cheap, and you want to do a treat for your dog, listen to the end of the show. I'll give you the recipe. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And before I get to how to train your dog to find stuff, which I love, I want to just clean up a couple of loose ends here. So, first, I want to tell you about Levi. Levi is a standard poodle that I know really well. He's a friend of mine's dog, and I've helped him out a little bit here and there for different things. He knows me, loves me, likes me. So I'm way away from home, in a different city, in a different place, trying to catch a ferry. And I'm kind of bored, so I decide to wander through the terminal while we're waiting for the ferry. And I'm just walking on my own, and I run into my good friend, Laura. And I'm looking at this lady thinking, geez, that lady sure looks like Laura. That lady really looks like Laura. And Laura, it's Laura. So she said, hey, Dev, no, no. We hug each other, blah, blah, blah. Okay. We visit for a while. I meet her mom. Everything's great. We part. I go back into the terminal. She goes to her car. About a half an hour later, I see her again, only this time she's with her big white poodle, Levi, who's my friend. And Levi sees me, and without even blinking, he doesn't look excited. He doesn't get it all... like, hey, Deb, what are you doing here? None of that. He just looks at me like, hey, Deb, how's it going? As if he expected me to be there. And someone standing with us said, wow, he sure expected you to be here. And I said, of course he did. He smelled me on her. We've already hugged. We've already greeted. Come on, people. Don't diminish the ability of that dog nose. He knew he probably greeted her and went, where's Deb? Where's Deb? And then was looking for me. That's probably what was going on. And then he saw me and went, ah, there's Deb. So, dogs' noses are amazing. They can smell the difference between a bad mushroom and a good mushroom. They can smell the difference between different plants. When you make spaghetti sauce and they're sitting underneath the, you know, the sofa and you're cooking in the kitchen, they can smell every ingredient you put into the sauce. So I smell tomato sauce, and maybe I can smell garlic or onions or something very strong, maybe basil, but I don't smell everything. I cannot distinguish every little thing you put in your soup. I do not know if you put parsnips in there or turnip or squash or peas. I can't smell these things, but your dog can. And that's why you can train them to find mushrooms. You can train them to forage in the German forests. All those pointers, oh my gosh. See, that's the thing. I always teach dogs to sit for mushrooms, but if you've got a German short-haired pointer, and probably people in Germany do, or a Weimaraner, any of these dogs that are supposed to point at birds, you can get them, as soon as you start training them, you'll see it. Instead of sitting, they will point. So let me just say right now, when you're looking at my YouTube on GoFind, and you're listening to me talk on previous shows about how to teach dogs to find mushrooms, and I always say make the dog sit beside them, I probably should have said, unless it's a pointing breed, And then if the dog stands and points, that is perfect. You don't need him to sit. That's perfect. What you don't want is him to start eating them or tearing them up or trying to fetch them to you. So we're trying to teach a new behavior at that find moment that is not bring it back to me. You don't want him grabbing a mushroom and carrying it back and maybe ruining it or not leading you to the spot he found it, right? There's certain things going on here. It's not fetch. You don't want him to go find it and bring it to you. That is not what we want. We want him to go find it and stay at it and let you find him. So trackers are probably a good idea. And the other day I had four of mine out in the forest looking for chanterelles, and we found a pound and a half, which I think is worth like $100. I don't know. I'm going to eat them. But while we were out there, at one point, they disappeared for a little bit, three of them. One of them stayed close, so I knew they weren't really gone. But they disappeared for a bit. And when I was calling, they weren't really responding. And I did hear one bark. And for a brief second, I thought, coyotes, what if they're being surrounded? But my dogs are pretty healthy and hardy and smart and fast, and they're a group. So I wasn't too worried. It was middle of the day, but starting to get late. So yeah, bears. What if it's a bear? What if it's a deer? What if it's a deer and they follow it forever? What's happening here? And I had a brief moment of, oh my God, why did I do this without trackers? So they came back, of course. I mean, they're my dogs and they always come back. They came back all happy and excited, and I put more of them on leash, and I've already ordered the trackers. So I will let you know if these trackers that I ordered work. They're from Amazon, and there's four, and I have four dogs I want to put trackers on. So I'm going to see if I can keep track of them that way, because you don't want to lose your dog in the forest. And I found out recently, my usual way of training dogs is on a long leash or a short leash, and we go together. And when I find the mushroom, I make a big fuss and make the dog sit and appraise it. I do that over and over and over. And as I'm searching for the mushroom, especially if I see it or I know where some are, I can tell the dog to find them as we're successfully finding them. So I do that a whole bunch of times, and then the dogs just find them. But the leash really restricts you. It means the dog can't find them where you're not, right? Which is the whole point of the exercise. So to speed up training, I can go earlier, I think, if I have the GPS, because my worry right now, my dogs are starting to find it, but I'm worried that they'll just stay there and I won't know where they are. So now I'm going to use the trackers. Okay, we're going to get a break and talk a little more about this, and then talk about a squirrel and a recipe. So stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So what you do is you take your dog in the living room when he's controlled on a leash, and you have someone else take the object you want him to find. And you say, go find whatever it is. Let's say it's the mushroom. Go find the mushroom. Or let's say it's a ball. Go find the ball. Let's do it easy. Go find the ball. Dog already knows what ball is. Now he's learning the command find. Go find the ball. and you march him over to the ball and you tell him to sit, or he picks up the ball, either one is fine, and you say, good boy, you found the ball. Now, once he's good at finding the ball, you hide the ball behind a chair, somewhere obvious he sees you hide it. Go find the ball. He finds it again. And then you hide it, maybe in the yard, maybe when he didn't see you place it. Go find the ball. Good boy, Cookie, good boy. He finds the ball. Okay, so I would do this on leash quite a lot. And when he knows find, then you introduce something else. Maybe it's the toy. Go find the toy. The ball's sitting there, and when he grabs the ball, you say, nope, that's not it. Go find the toy. And you sort of direct him to the thing you want. So now he's learned the word toy. And you practice and you practice and you practice with toy. Go find the toy. Go find the toy. Now he's learned to find two things. So these two things could be a person, like a kid that you love. Go find Jenny. Go find Jenny. This could be Jenny, your little girl who wanders off. This could be what the dog is finding. And that should always be done on a leash. It could be your car. If you get lost a lot, go find the car. You put a cookie on the car and you start a few feet from the car. And then you go 10 feet in the trail. And then you go 20 feet in the trail. And then you go, 100 paces in the trail. And then after you've done that a whole lot, every time you're going back to the car and you know the way, you say, go find the car. And look at that. There's a treat on the car. And you keep your dog on leash for this because you don't want him to find the car without you, right? You want him to show you the car. So go find is what you're teaching. Now he's got that concept, go find. So what are we going to find? Well, the next thing you bring out is the thing you want him to find. And you can put, if it's mushrooms or something you're foraging, you can put it in a sock so he can still smell it, but he can't exactly gum it or wreck it or accidentally swallow it. Now, chanterelle mushrooms won't hurt your dog. So while you're training, if you're training with proper things, and you should never use the wrong thing because your dog is learning to scent for that specific thing, right? If when people who forage get their mushrooms, they will cut off the bottom part that's all dirty and they'll scrape it off. That's a part you can use to teach your dogs to find them. So if you know someone who's a successful forager, ask him for a little bit of the stalk they're throwing out, a little bit of the stem, the dirty stem. And then you put it in a sock or, I would say a sock is the best. And then I put them back in the freezer when I'm not using them and I take them out. Sometimes I wet the sock so the smell will be a little fresher. And at the start of the hike, I actually drop them where we're looking. And I say, go find the chanterelle. And they find the sock with the chanterelle, which is super easy. I mean, it smells like me and my sock, but they find it. Oh, good, good, good. And I take the I show them, I let them sniff it. Good, good, good. And then they know what we're looking for. And we keep going. And they notice that every time I find them, I'm all excited. I make a big deal about, oh, look, look. You know, happy high voice, excited, happy talk, treats all around, big deal. Yeah, you want a celebration. And then they'll look for it again. And actually, one of my dogs, he doesn't even want the treat. He just likes the celebration. He starts dancing when we when we find the mushrooms. That's Fabio, the white poodle. And Dorito wants the treat, for sure. Peachy wants a treat. Poco wants a treat. But Fabio, he's just happy for the celebration. So you got to know your dog. If your dog is ball obsessed, use a ball. When he finds the mushroom and sits beside it or finds the mushroom and points to it and you catch up to him because you're advanced and you're using GPS or you've got him on leash and you're there too, praise and praise and praise and give him that ball if that's what he wants. And then take it away and put it in your pocket so he continues to search, right? All right, so that's how you teach a dog to find mushrooms. $150 worth of mushrooms in about 20 minutes. That's how you do it. All right, so I'm going to end with a little squirrel talk. There's a squirrel in California near Berkeley that is terrorizing the neighborhood. And there are signs up all over the neighborhood with a picture of this squirrel launched in attack mode, and it says, beware, very mean squirrel. I just thought that was so funny. In other squirrel news, kind of sad but related, Meryl Streep is quoted as saying, in Afghanistan, a squirrel has more freedom than a girl because the girls aren't allowed to use the parks in Afghanistan. So I think that's very poignant at this time. And the parks that don't let dogs in, those are the parks that aren't safe. Those are the parks where predators linger. Dogs make everybody safe when they're well-trained. That's my contribution to that subject. And the parks should be open to the women and the children, absolutely, and safe. So, okay, we're going to end with a recipe now, because you keep asking me for recipes. Used to be I got asked for jokes, and now I get asked for recipes. So here's a good one for this time of year, fall. Preheat your oven to 250, wash your carrots, and slice them lengthwise into strips about 1/4 inch thick. Then you coat them with pumpkin and oil in a large bowl. So you want them really coated. You lay them on a baking sheet, I would suggest with parchment paper, and just a single layer, and you bake in the preheated oven for 2 to 3 hours. So you're really drying these out. You flip them halfway through. You want these carrots to be really dried out and chewy. So the pumpkin oil kind of coats them, makes them a little bit crispy and tasty on the outside. Then you let the carrots cool completely and then let your dog have them. So that's it. A pumpkin carrot chew recipe for today. All right, everybody. Happy mushroom hunting for all of you listening to me in Germany, and welcome to the show. Please send us your questions, your comments, your guest suggestions, anything at all, because, yeah, this is a whole new audience I'm discovering, and I'm grateful to have you. All the dogs and cats of Germany, welcome to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. All right, everybody, for me and the show, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.